Today, I'd like for us in the time that remains to look at Psalm 1. Psalm 1. When the Psalter was put together for the Hebrew nation, the psalmists, they constructed it in such a way that the first psalm would tell us, how do we want to live? What kind of person do I want to be? And to realize that there are two choices. One choice that says, I'm going to serve myself. Another choice that says, I am going to serve God. And you know, as I look at this text, it's almost like you could take a coin and flip it and say, heads you win and tails you lose. There is one way that brings success. There's another way that brings failure. And today, I want us to ask ourselves, I have a life, it's like this coin. And there are only two sides, there are only two ways that I can invest my life. And I have to ask myself, heads, do I want to win, or tails, am I going to lose? This summer, I was in Washington, D.C., and had the privilege of meeting a pastor who came over to the United States from China as a student. He said he landed in New York City with $200 in his pocket and a scholarship at Johns Hopkins University. He went to Johns Hopkins to start studying medicine. And as he was there trying to learn English and cope with all the challenge of being in a new country, he said a group of medical students came to him and invited him to go to a Bible study to enhance his English skills. He thought that was odd, so he went, and he said they started talking about this book called the Bible. I said, what'd you think of that? He said, I had never heard of a Bible before. I'd never seen or heard anyone ever talk about a Bible. He said, the other thing that amazed me was that educated people, like these doctors and these medical students, would believe that there was a God in heaven. The end result is Cal Wong eventually gave his heart to Christ, became a believer, left his medical studies, enrolled at Dallas Theological Seminary, where I went to school, and now has planted two churches in the greater Washington, Mandarin churches in the greater Washington, D.C. area. Because you know what? He discovered what the Bible refers to as the happy life. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man, blessed is the one, blessed are they. But the word blessed has other Hebrew words that talk about blessing, but the particular word that's used here might refer more to the happiness of life, the fulfillment of life, the satisfaction of life that comes from investing my life God's way. And today, I want you, as we go through Psalm 1, to ask yourself, I've only got one life, but am I living it heads, God's way, or am I living it tails, my way? Now, I think this psalm is sort of self-explanatory. You have a copy of it in your bulletin, and there's going to be some words on the screen here, and I would like for us to read Psalm 1 together. And as we read it together, this is in the latest NIV translation, I want you to ask yourself, am I living heads, or am I living a life of tails? Let's read it together. Psalm 1 about the happy life. Together, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. You know, as I look at Psalm 1, I realize that there are two ways to live, and only two ways to live. One is called heads, and the other is called tails. Negatively, let me look at the tails first. If you look at Psalm 1, and if you look here in the verse 2, He talks about in verse 1, the blessed man. But then he says, blessed is the one who does what? Does not do these three things. Walk in step with the wicked. 2, stand in the way of sinners. Or 3, sit in the company of mockers. That's an interesting progression he uses to talk about sin. He talks about we're walking away, walking along. We see something that grabs our attention, a sinful activity. We stop and stand and focus on it and pay attention to it. And then we sit down and get involved and bathe in all the joys that the world has to offer. You know, I think what he's talking in these three things is not just a sense of progression, but he's also talking about the totality of sin, the plethora of sin, all the stuff that we want to enjoy and participate in. It's sort of like a toddler. Have you ever been to a toddler's crib and they have not just one stuffed animal, but maybe 20 or 25? My grandson keeps all his stuffed animals in a bag, and he throws them down the stairs. And, I mean, he plays with them in a lump of toys as if the more stuffed animals he has, the better life is going to be. And that's exactly what it is like with a person who lives their life with a passion for themselves. They say, as I'm walking along, I am looking and I am stopping and I am sitting down and enjoying all the stuff that the world has to offer, even at the expense of my Maker, the God in heaven. And I ask myself, where does that get us? When I live a lifestyle with a passion for myself, to meet the needs of myself at the expense even of other people, where does that get me? Well, you know where the answer is? Ask Harvey Weinstein. He thought he had it all. He chased it all. And he chased it at the expense of other people to satisfy himself. But you know what he discovered was it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You're in a hotel room, and you get thirsty for a Diet Coke. That's how I stay so skinny and good-looking, Diet Cokes. That was over the top, Ron, okay? So I go down the hall. I find the little room with the Coke machine, and it says, insert your dollar bill here. And I insert my dollar bill, and it rejects it. I insert it, and it rejects it. I insert it, and it rejects it. And finally, a young man comes up behind me and says, sir, turn your dollar bill over so the George Washington is on the top. And I put it in, and I get my Coke. How many times do we have to do it to see Harvey Weinstein's in the world to realize that heads you win and tails you lose? Only heads works, doing it God's way. Well, what's the result of a passion for myself? The psalmist goes on in verse 4 and says, he says, when he compares the result of the one person that honors God and the one who doesn't, he describes the selfish person. He says, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. They are like chaff that the wind just blows away. What is chaff? Well, when they would grind their wheat, they would usually put the wheat that they harvested down, the stalks and everything, on the ground, and they would walk over it themselves or beat it with a stick or have animals tread on top of it. And the idea was to separate the kernel of grain from the chaff that they don't want to eat. And then to winnow this process, they would put a fork underneath it, throw the mess up into the air, and the light, worthless chaff would blow away, and the grain of wheat, the kernels of wheat, would fall to the ground, and they would have their food for the future without the worthless chaff. And here he is using that familiar picture to say, what is the result of a life that is selfish, that lives for itself, that lives for sin, that gets involved in stuff that just doesn't count? He says the end result is you're worthless. It's like chaff. And not only are you like chaff, but you're blown away. You have no values. You have no foundation. You have no direction in life. And you can be blown with the latest trend that comes by. Are you impressed with the morality that Hollywood is having? Huh? They taught us about violence. They taught us about unfaithfulness in marriage. They taught us about a lack of family values. They taught us about illicit sex. And now they're chastising one of their own who did what they showed us how to do it in a movie. You know, my friends, we have no moorings without the scriptures. Without honoring God in our lives, we have no foundation. And we build a life that has no value. We build a life that is empty. It's like chaff. It's blown away. I did a wedding one time for a very famous businessman in our town. His name was on a lot of buildings. He traded in his wife for a girl who was younger than his daughter. He had a chauffeur that picked me up for this event in hot pants and cowboy boots. And he was known all over town, some in a good way and some in a not so good way. He had everything that the world had to offer. But the last time I saw him, Alzheimer's was starting to kick in. His kids were taking control of the money. They sold all those buildings with his name on it. Now he wasn't famous anymore. And I'm sure this third or fourth wife that he had probably has left him by now because he's gone. I asked myself, as I look in the rearview mirror, what kind of legacy have I left? What kind of person have I become? But more importantly, what kind of person do I want to be? When my Uncle George, a fine Christian man, died, the family called and said, "Ron, would you come to the memorial service for Uncle George?" Well, we did. We had a great celebration of his life. And after the funeral, and we're all at home eating and families chilling around, my Aunt Pat says, "Let's clean out his closet. And you men, take some anything that's in there you want, take it. And tomorrow it's all going to the Salvation Army." By the time that night was over, Uncle George did not exist in that house anymore. It was gone. The next morning, I went to the family business and the president's chair where he used to sit was now occupied by his oldest son. And I thought, just like that, life can change. And the question for me and for you, is my passion for self or is my passion for God? What kind of person, what kind of life have I enjoyed? Is it honoring to God or is it like chaff that's blown away? It's like a vapor that you see for a moment, but then it disappears. What did I leave behind? Sadly, the end result of this life is enumerated in verse 6. He says, "Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment." You know, they can stand with sinners in verse 1, but here in the judgment before God, they cannot stand. "Nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous." They can't stand with the people they mocked, the goody two-shoes that went to church. They can't stand with them either. "For the Lord watches over those righteous ones, but the way of the wicked does what? It leads to destruction." You see, the problem is the greatest offense of a lifestyle that does not honor God is not against other people, even though that is sinful. It's really an offense against God, the maker of heaven and earth. And when we choose to live our lives our way instead of God's way, when we choose tails over heads, what we're doing is we're saying, "God, I don't want you as part of my life." And we are rejecting our Creator. We're rejecting the purposes that He gave for us. And we are choosing tails over heads. You know, it's easy for me to get haughty and say, "Oh, I'm not like those people." But in reality, all of us slip into it. All of us slip into the selfishness of sin. All of us are walking down the path and we see something and we stop and we stand and then we sit down and we get involved. And we disregard the God of heaven and we disregard what the Bible has to say. It's easy to become haughty and to convince ourselves that we're better than other people. But God, in his infinite mercy, broke this chain of rebellion by sending Jesus to come and to die on the cross and to take that ugly sin, that offense in the presence of God, and to die on the cross in our place and to forgive our sin and to separate us from the junk that we have piled up in our cribs and to separate us from it as far as the east is from the west and to bury it as if it's in the deepest sea. And if it weren't for the grace of God in sending his son Jesus, my friends, we would always and all of us be on that path to destruction. I ask you today, have you allowed the God of heaven to forgive you? Have you recognized that you have exchanged his priorities and purposes and plans for your life for your own selfish desires? Can you see the emptiness of life that has developed because of that failure? Do you look down the path and see where it's going to take you? And do you stop and realize that God has graciously given us his Son? And whoever believes on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. I beg of you today, if you're living this life of tails, flip that coin to heads. Well, what does heads look like? Well, look what it says here. He says in verse 1, the sinful man, but he talks about heads, the man who has a passion for God. He says, but whose delight is where? In the law of the Lord. That's the Bible. And who meditates on it day and night. It doesn't mean that you walk along with a Bible all day meditating, thinking, okay, God, 24/7, I got to be focused on the Bible. And what does the Bible say? God, don't let me, I can't put my Bible down. I can't think about it. No. What it means, the word meditate carries the idea of prolonged thought. I'm here to think about it. Not, and to meditate on it so that I can say, if God speaks, then what are the implications? What does it say for my body? And I want, and that's why in empowerment groups, we use a SOAP method, scripture, observation, application, prayer. We read the scripture, we observe what it says, and then we say, what's the application for my life? What is the application? What is God saying? He wants to instruct, to teach, to correct, rebuke in me. That is what the Bible is all about. And that's why I pause and look over to say, God, what do you want to do in and through me? You see, that's why Jesus, the night before he died, he gathered his disciples in the upper room. They had the first Lord's table celebration. He prophesied his death. And then he said, I want you to know this. If you love me, you will obey me. If you love me, you will obey my words. You know, my friends, that's why in every challenge of life, in every difficult person you have to deal with, in every issue or concern that comes your way, the answer is always the same. And that answer is, what does God say in the Word? What does the Bible tell me to do in that situation? That's why the Lord turned to Joshua when he was replacing Moses as the leader of the nation of Israel. He said, Moses, you want to be successful? He said, then do everything I have commanded you. Don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right, but fulfill my law. Do everything that I have commanded you to do, and you and this nation will prosper. And my friends, the difference between the man who lives for himself and the man that honors God is that he delights in the truth and says, God, I want you. I want to honor you by obeying your book. One of the pastors I met this summer, I having lunch with him, and I couldn't, it was hard to interact. You could tell it was a very stilted conversation. And I finally turned to him. I said, you know, I sense there's something going on here I don't know about. He said, yep, I'm probably going to be fired tonight. I said, fired? He said, yeah. I said, what's going on? He said, well, I got this board member, and he's criticized me over and over again. If I say yes, he says no. If I say white, he says black. I mean, it's just over and over and over again. And I've heard through the grapevine, he's coming loaded for bear tonight to get my hide and to get me out of here. And he said, what should I do? I said, well, I've been in that situation a few times. And I have discovered that when you play with a skunk, you smell like a skunk. I have discovered when you defend yourself, you lose. So why not do what Jesus did in the Bible? Like a lamb before her shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. You've probably already lost. Just go to the meeting and don't say a word. And give this man enough rope, and he will hang himself. I said, I will pray that it goes well. The next morning he called me and says, you won't believe what happened. He said, I shut up, which was very difficult. By the time the meeting was over, the board asked him to leave the board, and I was affirmed as the pastor of the church. And he used a method that none of us would use, a biblical method, silence. The Bible speaks, and the Bible works. What about you? What about that person you're sitting next to? Do they act like a jerk once in a while? Yesterday. Did they cheer for somebody other than the University of Alabama? Susan and I were driving across Texas. Don't drive across Texas. It's 678 miles. It is forever. You know? Along that path, she's doing something on the phone, and she asked me a question, and I'm irritated. And I guess I let her know by my facial expressions. And she said, don't roll your eyes at me. So a few minutes later in the car, I reached over, grabbed her shoulder, and said, can you forgive me? I apologize. Because all of us have the potential to slip from obeying the word to disobeying the word. We slip from heads, we slip into tails. And I realize that what I've got to do to have a successful marriage with Susie, and we're just starting, it's just 47 years. She's the most patient woman in Saddlebrook. No amens? Is I've got to look at what the Bible has to say. Love your wife, or your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. There is no sacrifice, no level of sacrifice that stopped Christ from going to the cross for his bride, the church. And there is no sacrifice that I can't make for my bride, Susie. Number one, obey the Bible. But number two is to look over her shoulder and to see that there's someone standing there. It's the Lord himself. And to realize that when I honor her, when I love her, I am honoring the Lord. You know, my friends, the happy person, the blessed person, is the one who delights in the law of the Lord. What kind of life does that produce? Well, look what he says here in verse 3. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water. You know, it's like you're becoming like a tree, streams of water. I think that's a reference to the scriptures. Your life is planted next to the flow of scripture and truth, and you're sucking it in. When you drive through the desert of Arizona and you see a clump of trees somewhere, what do you know? There's a pond or a stream over there, right? You know, because they're taller than normal. And the impact is true. When we obey and listen to God's word, it transforms us and makes our tree do something. What does it do? It says it yields its fruit in season. It's interesting. He says, you become fruitful in your life. And I love that phrase, in season. When you need the fruit, it's there. Because you've been meditating and hiding the word of God into your life. And at just the time you need it, that truth comes out and bears fruit in your life. He says, and whose leaf does not wither. Not only does it bring nourishment like fruit, but it brings probably shelter and protection and shade like a big old leaf to protect us. But he sums it up at the last line, and whatever they do prospers. In other words, God says there's one way to have a blessed life. There's one way to have a successful life. There is one way to prosper in this life. And that is to take the word of God, allow it to become part of your very being, and to dig your roots deep down into that, the truth of God's word, and you become this blossoming tree that produces nourishment and comfort and shade to other people. I love driving down the highway, and you'll see a forest, and the trees all grow tall to reach for the sun. But then you come to a farmer's field. And there's just one tree out there in the farmer's field. And it looks so different because it has no competition and it has the freedom to blossom and to round out and become a beautiful specimen. And you know, my friends, God wants you to grow and to mature and to become a person of stature, a person that others will admire, become a person who produces fruit, nourishment, and shade and comfort for the people in your world because your roots are deep. Your roots are deep in the truth, and that truth is transforming you and blessing others. You know, David used the psalm. He used the tree. The Apostle Paul used the in Philippians 2, used the metaphor of a star. You will shine like a star in the universe as you do what? As you hold out the word of truth, as you hold out the scriptures to others. You know, my friends, your world needs a good tree. And you are the tree. Your world needs it. Your family, your neighbors, your sphere of friendship, they need a tree. They need someone to stand tall and to give them stuff they're not getting anywhere else. You may say to yourself, well, I'm not the coolest person in the world. I'm not the most significant person in my world. You don't have to be. A week ago today, I baptized my little 12-year-old granddaughter, Indiana Scarlett Gannett. Indy called me a couple of weeks ago and said, Grandpa, I got a favor to ask of you. When you come back through Birmingham on your way to Arizona, would you baptize me? The church had a baptismal service, but I want you to do it. Will you baptize me? I said, sure, I'd be honored to. I said, call your cousin who has a swimming pool and ask her if next Sunday we could use her swimming pool. So she called Jessica, my niece, and Jessica said, of course you can use the pool. And she told her mother. And her mother said, well, I've never been baptized. I was raised Catholic. I was never baptized as a believer. I want to get baptized. And she told that to my brother. And my younger brother slipped through the cracks sometime. He was raised in a Christian home. And he never got baptized. And he wanted to get baptized. And so last Sunday afternoon, our family stood around this pool in a backyard. And I baptized my brother first, then he helped me baptize his dear wife, and then we baptized, last but definitely not least, little Indy. And you know, I walked away from that thinking, a little 12-year-old girl, the youngest one, the most insignificant person in that group was the biggest tree. Was the biggest tree. And my friends, if you dig deep into the Word, you will become that person that draws other people to the Lord. Well, you know, I love the way this thing ends. It says, the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Isn't that interesting? He watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. In other words, he's saying, you know, heads, I'm with you. Tails, I am not with you. God is actively involved in our lives, watching us. He's watching the life of those who seek to obey his word, and he cares. Last spring, I talked to you about Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou, the Father, art with me. Jesus said before he left, I'm going to have the Father bring the Holy Spirit so that you won't be orphans in this world. We have the Father, we got the Holy Spirit. And then the last words that Jesus spoke on earth was, all authority in heaven and on earth are given to me, therefore go make disciples of all nations. And lo, I am with you always. Christ, to the very end of the age. You have the Father, you have the Holy Spirit, you have Jesus Christ actively involved in your life, watching over you. And you know, I look at the results here, there are two things. Number one is God is watching and he cares. Every intimate detail of your life, he cares about. But secondly, the wicked will not be able to stand, but you will be able to stand before God. I ask myself, does it get any better than that? That if I choose heads over tails, I have no fear of the future. If I choose to obey God's word and to live a life that honors him, I can stand before God, which means I can stand in any situation, no matter what comes here on earth, because I know that the God of heaven, the triune God, is watching and caring for my life, not the wicked. In fact, in Matthew 7, Jesus said, some of you will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, we did great miracles in your name. And he'll say, get away from me. I never knew you. You knew about me, but I never knew you. But if you obey God's words, he wants to know you more and more every day. I ask you today, is it tails, heads, or is it tails? I suggest you cash in today by doing three things. Number one, memorize Psalm 1. Don't memorize that translation. After we had that printed, I thought, I should have used a different translation. Use the King James or the old NIV or the New American Standard Bible, but memorize Psalm 1. And every time you have a challenge, just say, blessed is the man who does not. Memorize it. I challenge you. You're not too old to do that. Well, maybe some of you are. Number two, participate in Bible study. Well, I read the Bible at home. No, you don't. We need a group to hold us accountable. I've proven that in my life, and you've probably proven that in your life. Get involved in a Bible study this year and ask God to teach you from his word. And then thirdly, dream. Dream of the possibilities. Dream that if you allow the Word of God to change you, what it will do in the life of your marriage, what it will do in the life of your family, But most of all, what will it do in you? Dream. Heads or tails? Heads, you win. Tails, you lose. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, you have made it so simple for us. You take the pain of the punishment of sin and you place it on your Son, Jesus. And you've given us the word, the simplicity of your truth to follow and obey every day. Oh, Lord, I just ask that the Spirit of God today might work in our hearts, work in our minds, and give us the wisdom to choose your ways over our ways. And help us, Lord, as we know your truth, to become that tree that brings life and nourishment to those we know and love. Oh, Father, today we choose you, and we pray that you might help us to know you better, to honor your word, and to be your instruments of grace in this world. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, because we want to honor God with our lives, let's go into the world in peace. Let's have courage. Let's hold on to what is good. Honor all men. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Share the gospel. Love and serve our Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.